Hello, I'm Molly, and this is Care Experts, brought to you by Care Credit and Pets Best. Together, the Care Credit credit card and Pets Best pet health insurance provide all the financial tools that can help you be the best pet parent you can be. So some dogs, well, actually most dogs will pretty much eat anything they can get their paws on. So today we want to talk about dog diet and digestion. And for those answers, we are talking to Larry Keller from the Lewis Animal Hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, Larry.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's get some answers on some common concerns about dog digestion. So first of all, my dog ate chocolate. What do I do?
This is a very common question that we have, and I'll kind of expand it to other things as well. When a dog eats something they're not supposed to, typically the first thing you talk about is trying to make them vomit. And one of the easiest ways of doing that is using hydrogen peroxide. Most people have hydrogen peroxide hanging around their house, and that's what is great for this. The way that hydrogen peroxide works is by irritating the stomach. You give that to your dog by mouth. And what ends up happening is it'll go on their stomach and it'll irritate their stomach. What I usually tell people is to give them hydrogen peroxide and then maybe even take them for a walk or throw the ball with them outside. And what you're doing is you're actually getting that hydrogen peroxide mixing up in the stomach to hopefully help irritate enough to make them throw up. Your typical dose is usually about a teaspoon, per about 5 pounds, maybe 10 pounds. You can go a little bit over that too, if you want, because the majority of dogs are going to spit half of it out anyway. And I will usually give that, and then I give it about a half an hour. And if things don't get better, I go ahead and do it again. If at that stage things do not start to move, then I would think about taking them to a veterinary clinic or an emergency clinic where they can use a drug called apomorphine, or they can actually use a binder that helps kind of put that stuff together.
The next question, Larry, is my dog is eating grass. What does that mean? What should I do?
You don't have to do anything in general to begin with. Some dogs will seek out grass if their stomach's upset. Grass is a natural laxative. And what will end up happening is if you have a dog that eats it when their stomach's upset, is that one of two things are going to happen. Either it's going to kind of help move their bowels through and make them feel better. Or what happens a lot is you'll have a dog go out and eat grass, and the sharp ends on the end of the grass will irritate their stomach and make them vomit. This is a very common thing. A lot of people think that dogs eat grass to make themselves vomit. It's actually the opposite. They eat grass to help move their bowels through, but because the grass is sharp on the edges when they chew it up, it does tend to irritate, make them vomit.
What types of food might cause gas or that uncomfortable stomach feeling in a dog?
Yeah. So you can, if you're feeding off the table, a lot of dogs have problems with some very dense vegetables. You tend to get gas when they eat something that is not highly digestible. If the body takes a long time to digest something, broccoli, green beans, sometimes with some dogs will cause that. That will tend to cause a lot of gas in their intestines, just as a byproduct of trying to digest all that hard to digest food. Gas is a very common problem, and what you can actually look at, not just the food, is you can actually look at the way your dog breathes. One of the most common reasons that we actually have a dog that has gas is because they are what we call a brachycephalic breed. So your classic breeds are your pugs, your bulldogs, your boxers. If you're an owner of one of those dogs, you more than likely experience some gas on a regular basis. And a lot of that is the way they breathe. They swallow a lot of air because they have a difficult time breathing. So when they're eating, when they're just sitting there, they tend to swallow a lot of air because they do have such a difficult time breathing. And that will lead to a lot of gas.
And now, is it okay to give my dog bones to chew on? And if so, what kinds? Chicken, pork? Is there a certain kind that's better than another kind?
As a general rule, I try not to talk about just the type of bone it is, because not a lot of people pay attention. And as a general rule for bones, first of all, the bone should be cooked. It should not have any raw meat on it or anything like that. You can boil it. The downside is boiling will make the bone a little bit more fragile. If you, in general, whether you have a small dog, big dog, whatever, and some bones, depending on what dog, will splinter differently than others. If you have any bone that starts to splinter. Or you start to get little pieces of it off. A classic example is chicken wing bones. Another example is rib bones. Those are the two that I would absolutely positively steer away from. I am really not a big fan of feeding your dog bones off the table of things that you already ate.
So how do I know if my cat or my dog ingests something toxic? What are some signs or what could I look for?
There are some very broad signs that can happen. A lot of our toxicities that we find out are when people know what they ate. There's actually a pet poison hotline. There's a couple different ones that are out there that can help you with that too. One of the classic things we tend to see with toxicity is we tend to see a lot of vomiting. We tend to see a lot of diarrhea. We tend to see some major lethargy. So if your dog is eating something he shouldn't, marijuana toxicity is actually a very, very common thing that we see. They tend to get kind of loopy. They tend to be out of it. They tend to just not have presence of mind. You really, really get concerned if you're concerned about toxicity. And one of the worst things you can see is seizures. If you start to see seizures, you go to an emergency clinic as soon as you possibly can and don't stop. Just go straight there.
So what do I do if my dog ingests fertilizer or some sort of poison?
You need to try and find out what your poison is, because there are five or six different types of poison, and we treat them differently and for a different length of time, depending on what they are. So if it's in your house or in a friend's house and you find this out, before you go, try and figure out what it is. Before you call anybody, try and figure out what it is, because that's the first thing they're going to ask you is what was the poison, what's in it, so we know how we can treat it.
So if my dog's vomiting, how do I tell if it's serious or not? Do I call my vet right away? Is that what I should do?
So vomiting is very common. Unfortunately, we see it quite a bit. I don't tend to rush to, you don't have to rush to call me if you have one or two bouts of vomiting. The first thing I would do is if your dog vomits, I would pull all the food and water away. They're not going to get dehydrated in 12 hours by vomiting. If that's the case, then you need to go somewhere if the vomiting continues. So you say you wake up and your dog's throwing up. So the first thing I would do, pull food and water away, give their stomach a rest, typically for about 12 to 24 hours. And then you would slowly start them back to food and water. If the vomiting continues, despite having all that food and water away, then once or twice, again, watch them and see. If you get a GI bug too, it just doesn't stop because you want it to. You know, you have to give it a chance to kind of run it through its system. If you have a dog that vomits consistently and maybe vomits for 4, 5, 6 times in an hour, that would be a very big sign of maybe need to go somewhere.
So what are the signs that my dog might have a food allergy, and how can I tell if it's serious or not? What should I do about it?
Yeah. In my mind, there are two different types of food allergy symptoms, signs that you see. The most common one we see is skin problems. Another thing that we tend to see with food allergy, and to me, it's an issue of dietary allergy versus dietary indiscretion, would be diarrhea. So first things first, let's talk about skin. You tend to, if they have a lot of skin problems, the classic example of dogs with skin allergy or with food allergies is they have a lot of ear infections, and they tend to lick the rear end a lot. The classic phrase is food allergies is ears and rears. So if you have a dog that has non-seasonal, and non-seasonal because they eat the same food all the time, and they just have all these ear infections all the time, and you treat them, it goes away, and then it comes right back. You treat them, it goes away, it comes right back. Then maybe food allergy is something we have to consider. You know, and the classic dog would be scooting their butt in the ground a lot. And that would be also could be anal glands as well. But you tend to actually have so much looking at the rear end, you can actually have an irritated area around it as well. And that is something to pay attention to as well. And that would be your classic dog. And not every dog is classic. Not every dog reads the book. So what we typically will do with food allergies is we'll do a food trial where you try a different protein. You can also try hydrolyzed protein, which is one of my favorite ways of doing it. And you do that trial. And that trial, if you do a true food trial, should be food, water, and that's it. Nothing else. Because if you start adding something else in, there could be something in other food or that treat or whatever that could be causing the allergy. And then you don't know that's the case. You don't know that the food is going to help because you had something else in there. And the hydrolyzed protein diets and the novel protein diets that we have are not cheap. And I don't want you to waste your money on getting something that's going to help, but then you're not sure how much it helped. So definitely make sure that if you go down that route, that you do it, and you do it for at least 6 weeks. And some dogs, it can take 6 months before you really get to where you want to be, but hopefully you see something within 6 weeks. And then you can get down to the meat of the problem and start adding stuff back one at a time and see if you can maybe find a common denominator that might cause issues with your dog. The other thing to talk about is diarrhea that you can get with it. And that happens quite a bit. That's a little trickier because there's a lot of things that cause diarrhea, and it's not one type of diarrhea looks like food allergy and one doesn't. You tend to trial and error with food and see what kind of helps calm their guts down. And then you try and help out with that. And that's, again, a process you have to work through to get to that point.
Larry, thank you so much for all your incredible advice. We really appreciate you being here with us.
No problem. I really enjoy it.
Have a great day.
Yep, you too.
More episodes of Care Experts can be found at carecredit.com/careexperts. All of our featured Care Experts recommend and accept the Care Credit credit card, which is accepted at hundreds of thousands of provider locations nationwide. To get more information on how Pets Best Pet Insurance can cover up to 90% of your pet's unexpected veterinary expenses, visit petsbest.com. Or for more information on the Care Credit credit card, go to carecredit.com.
Thanks for joining us on Care Experts with Care Credit. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share with friends and family. And stay tuned for new episodes every week. All information, opinions, and recommendations discussed in this episode are for your information only. We believe the information sources are generally reliable, but because of possible human or mechanical error by the sources, Synchrony or its affiliates, including Care Credit, does not provide warranty to the accuracy, quality, or completeness of the information or any results obtained from it. Any statement or opinions in this episode are the doctor's alone, and included data was current to the time of creating this episode. Please consult your own advisors before using any of this information. Pet insurance coverage offered and administered by Pets Best Insurance Services, LLC, is underwritten by American Pet Insurance Company, a New York insurance company headquartered at 6100 4th Avenue South, Suite 200, Seattle, Washington, 98108, or Independence American Insurance Company, a Delaware insurance company located at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 160, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85254. Pets Best Insurance Services, LLC, California Agency Number 0F37530, is a licensed insurance agency located at 10840 Ballantyne Commons Parkway, Charlotte, North Carolina 28277. Each insurer has sole financial responsibility for its own products. Please refer to your declarations page to determine the underwriter for your policy. Terms and conditions apply. See your policy for details.